Well, let's open to Luke chapter 2 and read the Christmas story, about 40 verses worth. And then we'll come and take a closer look at them. This is a time of sentimentality for too many people. We sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and if we're not careful, we're prone to think of the Lord Jesus as a babe lying in a manger. Well, he's not a babe lying in a manger. Not anymore. That's the way he came the first time. But when he comes again, what a different scene it will be. So, if we want to look at his birth, which is a wonderful thing because it showed that the fullness of time had come and God had sent forth his son, born of a woman, made a little lower than the angels, but to be us, to be to us, I should say, Emmanuel, that point of contact, that one mediator between God and man. And to be that mediator, he must needs be born as a man. So putting sentimentality aside, let's begin in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And they all went to be taxed, every one, to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written, "In the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, being made mindful of this time of your coming into the world, Lord, let us lift up our hearts to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the book of Luke, the Lord Jesus is presented as the Son of Man. And as such, the genealogy given in the book of Luke traces the lineage of Christ all the way back to Adam. He, as verse number 32 told us, he was a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. I think we live in a day and age now when the church is filled with so much sentimentality that we forget exactly who was lying in that manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Yes, he came into the world as a poor and helpless baby, but we have to remember that from eternity past, he is Jehovah God. And he humbled himself and was found in fashion as a man. So as we think about the story of his coming, we must always be mindful that we're still dealing with Jehovah God and joy to the world. The Lord has come. Yes, it's true. He came as a babe. But you probably noticed that there was a sign given with his birth. And what, pray tell, was that sign? No. Well, the Holy Spirit gave the sign, since we read it from the Word of God. How about verse number 12? "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." What's the sign? Yes. He came to die. That will tend to wipe the sentimentality away, won't it? He came to die, and how did death come into the world? "For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed on to all men." Why? Because all had sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Here we have Jehovah God, born into the world, a supernatural birth. Everything about the Lord Jesus is supernatural. And the world was given a sign. That stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Now, we've spent some considerable time in John chapter 8. We're going to spend some considerable time in John chapter 9. And along with this birth, this child laid in a manger but wrapped in swaddling clothes, which was the sign that was given, many have become foolishly sentimental. Oh, little baby Jesus. Don't forget that that little baby Jesus is Jehovah God. The same Jehovah God that in Genesis 1:1 said, "Light be," and light was. But because sin had come into the world, and because God so loved Adam and all his race, he became a mediator between God and man, he himself, in the only form in which he could become that point of contact between God and man. He became our kinsman redeemer, as was born into the family of man, yet without the blood poison of sin that would have been passed along from Adam had his father been Joseph. And so we find him laying in swaddling clothes, wrapped in a manger. Let's go to John chapter 4 and verse number 20. John chapter 4 and verse number 20. Here we find that little baby that was found wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger has an encounter. That encounter takes place in the land of Samaria. And as a preface to reading the verse, we found in John chapter 8 that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, what was the message to them? Yes, even to those that would believe on his name, that name that's above every name. Well, he's come. And even though his own received him not, there were still a certain number that he would call out of that sheepfold, Israel. And we find him in an encounter here in verse number 20, talking at that woman at the well, and she says to Jehovah God, that babe that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, Emmanuel, God with us, she has this to say. Verse number 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. That babe, that one that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, now goes to that place that the Jews despised, Samaria, and speaks unto one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's interesting that though he came unto his own and his own received him not, yet there were some that did receive him. And here we find an outcast, still of the house of Israel, but despised and rejected by the nation of Israel. That nation, of course, having its capital in Jerusalem. And Jesus has this to say to her, I that speak to you am he. He said it to another group in the very temple in Jerusalem before Abraham was. I am. And met an entirely different reaction than what's going to take place here. But as many as received him, and how must they receive him? That's the question, is it not? She said, I know that, verse 25, Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Sounds to me like she was waiting. Sounds to me that she's a whole lot like her cousin Simeon, who just happened to be in the temple at the time that Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus into the temple to keep the law of Moses. Simeon had been waiting. Anna had been waiting. You don't suppose that the rumor from the shepherds had circulated far and wide 8 days before, do you? But Simeon and Anna didn't need that because the Holy Spirit told them where to show up. Didn't need the word from the shepherds, but I'm sure that it had spread. Well, what does Jesus have to say to this woman who knows that Messiah is coming? And when he comes, he'll tell her all things. Well, what do you suppose the all things she was referring to? Well, yes. Not just how to worship, but who to worship. In verse number 20, she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You know, men have been making their own rules since the Garden of Eden. That's the way it is in this world. Every man does what's right in his own eyes. The problem with that is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's no unrighteous, no, not one. And it would be easy for us to say, well, these Samaritans were sinners above all, because in the days when the northern 10 tribes split from the southern 2 tribes, the king of the northern 10 tribes, since he's now cut off from Jerusalem, decides that he's going to set up a place of worship in a place that God had not prescribed. And he set up an abomination, and they went and worshiped there before the golden calves of Jeroboam. But there were some in that land that were wise enough to realize, yes, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, but there's something wrong with that, because our fathers are sinners too, and she certainly knew that she was a sinner. That's what she was doing out at the well at the time that the Lord Jesus met her there. It wouldn't have taken much to convince her of the fact that she was of that number, when the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nevertheless, she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, in John chapter 8, we saw what their worship was like. Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Well, here he is in Samaria. Jesus says in verse number 22, you worship, you know not what. Imagine that. She's in the same condition as those Jews in the temple that told Jesus that he was a Samaritan, had a devil. They didn't know what they were worshiping either, because they turned the truth into a lie. And they thought that by their own good deeds, they could atone for their own sins and make themselves acceptable in the sight of God. Well, the fact that that very day, right there in Jerusalem, in John chapter 8, where they're castigating the Lord, I think some people died. What do you think? And I think they were Jews. And if there were some Jews, some of their brethren that died, what did that tell them about their worship? Apparently, they weren't good enough. Apparently, they had not atoned for the curse of their own sin, because the wages of sin is death. And some people died. It's the same thing in the mountains of Samaria. In verse number 20, where were those fathers she's speaking about? They were dead. They made a terrible mistake, though, in John chapter 8. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. No, Abraham was very much alive, and so were those Jews that died that very day with a curse against the Lord Jesus on their lips. They were alive, too. But they weren't where Abraham was. It didn't matter whether a man worshipped in the mountains of Samaria or whether he worshipped in the temple at Jerusalem, if he worshipped the wrong thing. And they both did. You worship, you know not what. And yet Jesus says in verse number 22, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Well, was that true of those in the temple? Those Pharisees and scribes and lawyers that told Jesus that as far as they were concerned, he was a Samaritan and had a devil? Did they know what they worshipped? I don't think he was talking about that part of the population that was in Jerusalem. I don't think he was talking about that part of the population that were Jews. Because we discover that he's not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he's a Jew that's one inwardly, and that circumcision is of the heart. That's who he's talking about in verse number 22. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Well, that being said, in what manner was salvation of the Jews? He did, but let's not forget that sign that the shepherds got. It's only by faith, but faith in what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What was that sign the shepherds received? Yes, the death of Christ. By the way, is there anything in the Old Testament that said that the Messiah would die in payment for the sins of man? Oh, yes. Yes, maybe we should look at a few of those. What do you think? Well, let's do Psalm 22 first. This is a good season of the year to look at that, is it not? Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Let's begin in verse number 1. Do you have a heading above this psalm that attributes it to an author? A psalm of David. Do you think it was only written to the chief musician? Yes. That's not inspired. The heading to the psalm, I mean. Because if it was only to the chief musician, then we'd have no business reading it, would we? Nonetheless, we will. Verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is that ever said anywhere else in the scripture? Where? It's one of the sayings that the Lord uttered from the cross. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Could God forsake God? If this does speak of the Lord Jesus, and it does, David is speaking prophetically, that's one of the questions a philosopher would ask you. Verse number 2. Oh my God, I cry in the day, in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Who is it speaking of? Of course. You mean there was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ cried out to his Father and his Father refused to hear him? Verse number 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Kind of puts you in mind of the Red Sea, doesn't it? And Pharaoh's host pushing Israel up against the Red Sea. Yes, they were delivered. Verse number 5. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. That babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, that babe? Yeah. That very one. Does this sound human to you? The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just born into the human race as a phantasmagoria. He wasn't just an apparition. He's a real human being with real human emotions. And even though he knew before the foundation of the world that this moment would come, did it make it any easier? Because he's human. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Does it hurt us when men speak evil of us? What's the difference? In our old nature, we are sinners and deserve the reproach. But this one, he's done nothing. He's innocent. Verse number 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and shake the head, saying, he trusted the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Is there a time in future history that these words will be spoken? Come on down from the cross and we'll believe you. Verse number 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. Who is the he here in verse number 9? But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Yes. Yes. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, Mary. Thou shalt bear a son and call his name Jesus. Verse number 10, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, nor there is none to help. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Strong bulls of Bashan? Who could this be? Well, What was one of the objects of the idolatrous worship of the Egyptians? The Apis bull? Who do you suppose was romping about the cross having a grand old time?
Satan.
Of course. And his host? Verse number 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Doesn't the scripture say something about a roaring lion somewhere else? Seeking whom he may devour? I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. That's as close a description of crucifixion, which was unknown in these times, as you can find. One of the things that Jesus said from the cross was what? I thirst. Verse number 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Oh, but the Bible is just a collection of myths. It's completely inconsistent. What sort of a fool would believe fables invented by the ancients? Remember now, crucifixion was unknown in this time. They pierced my hands and my feet. Vlad the Impaler didn't do that. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Was there another instance in the scripture where something like that is brought forth? Before all those eyewitnesses, remembering that the life and times of Jesus the Messiah was put in the title of a book, his death, burial, and resurrection is the best attested fact in human history. Verse number 19. Be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. We'll forgive the King James translators for being carried away just a bit here. Was there ever anybody else that the Lord saved from the lion's mouth? Yes. Can you still hear the echo of the king's sad cry? O Daniel, has your God delivered you from the mouths of the lions? Verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. What was it that he said to that woman at the well? Woman, you know not what you worship. But you're going to find out real quick. I that speak unto thee am he. And what was her reaction? Immediately, She believed. Yes, she certainly did. Didn't take her long to get the spirit of evangelism. Why? Because this Jesus, that one that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, declared the name of the Father unto his brethren. Was that woman his brethren? Was every human being born of the race of Adam his brethren in that sense? Yes, he certainly was. Well, let's conclude for right now, and we'll come back in just a bit and finish the message. But for now, let's pray.